Good afternoon, that is, according to the script. Good afternoon. Look at that, snowing out. How could it be good afternoon? Call the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. It's Tuesday, the 23rd, and it's, what is about 3:35. Today we have present Senator Reinbold, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Michicki, myself, Chair Coghill, in the place of the chairman who is off. Reminding members, shut off your cell phone. I still owe donuts to this committee, but I'm waiting until they're looking like they're more starving. It hasn't happened yet. So we have Kerry, who's helping us with the Senate records, and Nate with the Legislative Information Office. One item on today's calendar, which is the CS for House Bill number 48, Finance Amended. What a title. This is the temporary state employee exemption, right? Or exempt state employees, part-time service. We have my representative, Senator Wilson, Representative Wilson, here to present the bill. So, Representative Wilson, why don't you come on forward? If you want staff to come join you, explain the bill. And I'm really going to need explanation because I was studying your original version, and the CS that is before me is still, I'm getting used to it. So please explain the CS for House Bill 48.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. For the record, my name is Representative Tammy Wilson. I represent District 3, North Pole. As you see, my title is actually now larger than the bill originated. It seems to have picked up a rider every place that it happens to go. The purpose of CS HB 48 Finance Amended is to discontinue the historical practice by the executive branch of using AS 39251109 to unilaterally establish high-level executive exempt positions that have no salary limits. The statute was enacted to employ persons in a professional capacity to make a temporary or special inquiry, study, or examination by establishing temporary exempt positions. House Bill 48 amended would eliminate the establishment of temporary exempt positions and place these positions in the partially exempt service. Positions in the partially exempt service are included in the position classification plans established under AS 39251020 and are compensated according to the pay plan under AS 39-27011. It would limit the amount paid to a newly hired temporary employee. It applies only to employment contracts entered into on or after the effective date that AS 39231109 is repealed. It does not affect the salary of existing employees or individuals hired prior to the effective date of the bill. CSHB 48 Finance Amended requires that not later than 60 days after the effective date of this act, the Commissioner Administration prepare and submit to the legislature a report that includes a list of all positions in exempt service of the state under AS 39251010 and the partially exempt service of the state under AS 39251020 and the salary and proposed salary schedule for each of these positions. Mr. Chairman, we would love to give you a list and tell you exactly how many employees there are. However, no one will ever tell us how many there are underneath this. There are those that are into the temporary positions that have been there for years. When this was put into place, it was really for those very specialty types of jobs that you would just need for a few months that you might need to pay in a higher position. And as we have found, and this is nothing about this governor, you can pretty much name any governor, and they have not been utilizing this statute in a way that we thought that it was actually put in. So the first part is we repealed it, and then we learned that once we did that, what would change is that as somebody was brought on, then they would have to be signed off by the Office of Management and Budget on the salary limit, on the salary, which had no limit. Well, we thought, well, that really wasn't trying to get us to where we wanted to go because we don't think the sky should be the limit. So that's when in finance we made it to where there was a cap on it. And then on the House floor, it was decided then that it would be nice to actually get a report so we know who exactly is currently in these positions and how much they're getting paid. With that, we'll take any questions you may have.
So the first question that comes to my mind is, where did you inquire and how many inquiries to find out these particular temporary employees?
Mr. Henderson, since you sent them all the requests.
For the record, my name is Ramon Henderson. I'm an aide to Representative Wilson. We started the request under the previous administration in August, I believe, 2017. We sent a number of requests, and it was bounced around from one department to another department in terms of who was going to be responsible for responding, and then eventually end up being OMB that responded. They prepared a consolidated response, but it did not include the positions that were actually established under the statute that we're referring to. They gave a big, long laundry list of all the exempt and PX positions without specifically identifying the positions that were established under this statute. And then we made another attempt early on in this administration, right before session, and it's taken quite a while. We did get some response, but we still have not got a comprehensive list.
Other questions? I have a couple more, but Senator Machicki.
So I'm looking at 39251109, and it talks about persons employed in a professional capacity to make a temporary or special inquiry, study, or examination as authorized by a governor. So just paint me a picture on how this works. If I'm doing a pipeline project or I need a FERC specialist for 3 months, or I am doing a similar project where I need some substantial expertise in a very limited area, being someone with some of those skills, I can tell you that it's not cheap. So how would you handle that temporary? If you're removing it from an exempt position, how would you hire that specialist for a short period of time?
Through the chair, Ron Henderson, Senator Machicki, you still have the exempt service, which in that classification of service, there's no salary limits on that. So if you wanted to hire someone, you could hire someone under that statute, pay them what you want, and for how long a period of time you wanted them. You could just establish a position under the exempt service.
So maybe on that point, Senator Machicki, is that ability to track them by PCN then helpful, or does it matter whether it's done under exempt status or outside of the, if this isn't repealed, so that gives them two avenues, and what you're saying is we're closing one avenue down?
Mr. Chairman, we didn't really actually close one avenue down. We just moved it from exempt service to partially exempt service and then just put a cap on how much that individual could get paid. So there's still that avenue. It's just that there is a cap on the salary. Then you still also have the exempt service that doesn't have a cap.
Does that help, Senator Machicki? It's helping me. I'm digging into this a little bit myself.
I'm okay for now. I don't know that it does help me, but I'm
right.
Looking through the statutes.
All right, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. So I'm just trying to figure out who these people are, as you are, and I guess we're not really sure. We don't have a list. Could you guess who these people are that are currently in this under 39251109?
So Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, we got a few years ago that started this anonymous call, literally, of someone that was working in Anchorage, and they couldn't figure out where they were getting paid. They couldn't find it in. Normally, in the good book that we all go through, it shows all the PCNs and the positions and how much they were making. That's some of us spend a lot of time in those books. And only between digging even further, we found out that they weren't necessarily even listed in the book. They still had a PCN, but they were being paid in a different fashion out of the governor's office for a position that was not temporary, and I'm not going to give who it was because that, you know, at this point they're not hired there. We have found by accident a few here and there if you dig far enough along, but what we'll do by switching this over, you will now see the PCNs, you know, listed underneath whatever agency that they are. Again, there will be a cap on how much they make. It's we kind of started searching this when it was our understanding this particular area was used more for political appointments, you know, as more of favors versus as those who, you know, didn't have to go through the process and show why I'm going to pay somebody that high because, kind of what Senator McTricky already said, because I have a high level of education needed for a very specific portion of that. And so, you know, as we kept trying to dig further, and then we just kind of ended up literally against the wall, I don't think there's ever necessary to have these kind of positions if you're not going to be transparent about who they are and why they would be underneath a temporary position if they're truly not temporary. Because if you're not temporary, you should be getting paid health benefits and all those others that come with full service.
Follow up,
then I'll get to Senator Ryan.
You know, getting to this point about who these people are, you know, the current statute says temporary. Is there a definition for temporary, or could there be a definition for temporary in the time where, you know, the governor needs to hire somebody under executive branch to do a very specific job that doesn't need to go out to a an RFP or some other method of procurement?
Well, Senator Kelsey, I get through the chair, as Mr. Henderson said, there are other provisions of being able to do it. And by changing where we're going to do it, it basically puts everybody at the same level because they have to go through a process in which you have a PCN, you have a description, there's an amount that usually goes for that type of job description. So it's not that they couldn't still hire the people, they just couldn't hire them underneath this particular statute. There's more of a process now if this bill goes through.
So closing that loop then, if the governor can already do that through a different way, I mean, if we're trying to essentially bar an administration from just hiring these folks, wouldn't we also have to work on that part so that they don't sort of short-circuit what we're trying to do here?
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, again, the governor is still able to do that. We did not repeal the hiring of temporary positions. We just moved it from exempt to partially exempt and then put a cap on the amount. So he still, or a commissioner, still has the ability to make that temporary appointment if needed. The only limitation is how much you're going to pay that individual. If you use that particular statute, now if you use the exempt statute, then you've got a higher salary that you can go to. It limits it. What it does is it limits it to a person like that has been working for the state for 5 years to get to that level. So you can hire somebody for all the way up to a step F, the way that we've revised it to. So you don't have to start right at that ground level. Step F is after 5 years of service.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, through the chair. I had an opportunity to talk to Ramon before the hearing today and went over the bill, and I like it. And I think you guys have found a loophole, and I think I know there's lots of loopholes, but you found one important loophole. You're short-circuiting it, and I really like that. And I think it's important, and I just want to say thank you for bringing the bill forward.
Question?
So what the bill is doing is it's eliminating the ability to hire professional persons in exempt service, and it's moving them into partially exempt service by adding that new section. But the partially exempt service steps, the highest amount is $10,979 per month. Is that correct?
Through the chair, this is Ramon Henderson. Through the chair, yes, Senator Machicki, that is the amount that I see on the current scale. A step, it looks like a range 30. Well, mine only goes out to step F, so that salary schedule probably goes farther out than that. But I can see 10.9 thousand at a range 30 step F. And I believe there I believe that there is someone online from the Department of Administration. Nancy Such, I think, was going to be online. Is she online?
I don't have anybody online at this point, do I? Let's see. I do. I have Nancy Such. Yeah. So do you guys want to ask Nancy, did I get right, Such?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Question probably from Senator Michiki.
Thank you, Nancy. If this bill were to go through, what is the highest amount per month that could be paid to someone that is a person employed in a professional capacity if they're moved into the non-exempt or the partially exempt position?
For the record, my name is Nancy Such. I'm the Deputy Director, Division of Personnel and Labor Relations in the Department of Administration. Through the chair, Senator Michiki, the highest amount, if somebody was initially appointed after the effective date, would be that range up to F step. There is a provision in 3927.11K that allows the governor to recognize someone with who serves a critical function to the state to go beyond F, but generally speaking, it would be limited to F. Now, someone currently employed, which I don't think is what we're dealing with here, could be beyond F at this point in time, but if you're looking at after the effective date, it would be cut off typically at F step. The pay rate, I couldn't tell you right off the top, but I can get that answer back to you. I think Ramond has that information.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Senator Michiki.
The bill repeals K, so that option's not available to you anymore.
Okay.
I guess that's the only warning is the fact that I would just tell you on a monthly basis that's less than half of what a critical specialist would work for. They would be leaving a company where they would be making twice that much at least, and it would be tough to get someone interested in that kind of a position on the upper end of the skill set. It would be nearly impossible. So how would you land that specialist? And the reason that's important is you can hire someone full-time for way too much money when you only need them for a short-term project, and it's very often worth having that specialist for that 30 or 60 or 90 days for the length of your project. It ends up being a bargain over the long term, but this doesn't seem to allow you to do that.
Senator, is that for the representative? Just so that I don't have Nancy feeling.
Yes, sir. It is.
All right. That'll be for the representative or Ramon.
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, and Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that you could still hire someone under the exempt service at a high salary, and you don't have to keep them. Doesn't have to be long term. You could make that a short term position and pay them a high salary. And your other option is, and I'm sure that you could probably contract out for this without having to do an RFP if the expertise was so required in such a technical manner that you could probably do a contract for it.
And that's something that maybe we should just bounce off of Nancy, because contracts for specialty consultings, for example, are common. But the first part of that was that you'd be able to go to partially exempt. Is that what you're saying?
Exempt service.
Exempt. Nancy, is that are those accurate statements?
Through the chair, in 3925.110, it lists all of those that are in the exempt service. So it would have to fall in under one of those categories.
And what about contract?
In other words, there would be no non-permanent exempt ability. You wouldn't be able to create unless it fell in. And I don't. There are about 30. There actually are 43. Different categories of it that are recognized in the exempt service. It would have to be in that, for example, Alaska Aerospace or officers of the employees of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. It would have to fall into one of those exempt categories currently.
And then what about the ability to contract, say, for consulting? how does that work under these kind of rules? Is it easier to use this AS-39, or is there other contracting statutes that they can go under?
That would have to be answered by a procurement entity. And my basic understanding is that they could contract out, and they'd have to follow the procurement rules. There could be a single source. There are thresholds and limits, and if it goes beyond a certain dollar amount, then they have to put it out for bid.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicki.
Just remember that, I don't know if Nancy knows this, but they deleted or they repealed number 9 in 39-25-110. I mean, there's a reason I'm asking about that particular need, because that particular need seems adversely affected unless you can find someone to work for less than $10,979 a month. And I know people listening think that that is a lot of money, but there are people that are very specialized in what they do that cost more than that. So there may be a contractual way to do that.
And Mr.
Representative
Chairman?
Wilson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Machicki, I know we're not supposed to talk about other bills, but sometimes it helps. The governor actually has a bill that was filed after ours was that actually that also deletes the same section. So all I can tell you is that if he has a bill to delete it, I'm going to guess that he doesn't see any purpose of keeping this particular statute. Just an interesting fact.
Yeah. Did you want to ask a question, Senator Kawasaki?
I don't know if that helped.
Nancy, Senator Kawasaki has a question for you.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're the right person to address the question or if you can answer this, but I'm just trying to figure out who these people are first and what, how many are in this exempted service who are temporary, how long have they been in those positions. Can you provide the committee that information?
Through the chair, we can certainly provide a report of who's in a temporary exempt position. What they do would have to be answered by the specific agencies. We don't set them up here in the Division of Personnel, so the duties that they've been assigned would be something we'd have to get from each agency. So the short answer is yes, we can provide that. The long answer is I don't know how quickly we'd be able to assemble that information.
Through the chair?
Yes, sir.
So if you can't get the information on what they actually do, I think just as far as raw numbers go, I'd like to see how many of these folks are under this current temporary or special inquiry study or examination, and how many of those people are there and what those salaries are, if that information is easy to obtain. And then the second question we'll ask or get later somehow.
So, Nancy.
Okay. Yes, we can do that.
All right, just get it to the committee, and we'll pass it along. I can tell you what my expectation was to do with this bill. The how of this bill is what I was going to look at today, and but the dollars of the bill were going to be something that I was thinking finance would look at. It's got a little more nuances than I had originally thought, so that particular reporting. So, Nancy, what do you think would be the time frame on getting the information that Senator Kawasaki just asked about?
Through the chair, I'd have to check with our employee planning and information center to see what's likely. It all depends on when payroll's running and when we have access to the system to pull that data. I want to say we typically have a 10-day turnaround for that type of information. I can see if we can do it sooner.
Well, this bill has a referral into the Finance Committee, and what I would suggest is what?
Brief at ease.
All right, let's take a brief at ease. Maybe I misspoke. on the record, and my apologies. I thought this had a Finance Committee referral, and then it devolved into a further conversation. So, Nancy, I was going to say, why don't you send it on from this committee to the Finance Committee, but that's probably not going to happen. So you should probably try to get information to us as quickly as you can. But I would say that it wouldn't be my intention this week to hold the bill just for that information, but it would be my expectation to hold it before we put it on the floor to make sure that everybody got that information. So that could easily be 10 days. And Nancy, if you think you can pull it off in 10 days on this particular issue, it should go through this committee chairman, though. Is that something that is workable with you, Nancy?
Yes, through the chair. You know, we may have an older report, but I'm assuming that you'd want the most current picture.
Yeah, no.
So I'll work with staff to see which would go quicker.
That would be nice. I think an older report would be helpful because it's just instructive to us on who these people are, what they generally look like. And so an older report is just fine, I think. The newer report would be nice, but it's not critical to the movement of this bill. I think it answers the Senator Kawasaki's question on who are these people. That's pretty much what we're trying to get to, wouldn't you say, Senator Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's part of it. I mean, the other question is what these people are doing. I mean, $10,000 does sound like a lot to regular people. It sounds like a lot to me, but there are people that do jobs that in which you need. I mean, I think you need them. I think the other question is, you know, it's sort of a black box. We're talking about the budget right now. I don't know how many of these people and where they're getting paid from, and that's a troublesome issue.
So, Nancy?
So I'm sort of concerned about the policy in two respects. But, I sort of agree with Senator Michicki that, you know, there are times where you do need to hire someone partially exempt, temporary status, and you do want to stay. You know, you might not have to go through procurement code or things like that, and it just makes sense for a governor to have that ability. So I'm just weighing out the situation right now. Thanks.
So, Nancy, maybe you could help us understand if you can get the who, then the where of the assignment, maybe not necessarily what the duties is assigned, but the where assignment, would that be something that you could do on say, a past report?
Yes.
I think that would be sufficient for us because it'd be at that point we'll see if it's all in the DNR, Department of Revenue, DCED, whatever. At that point, we'll be able to, in our mind, either dig in further and ask questions more. And why would we want to repeal both 110.9 or 011K in this particular bill? I kind of like the idea. I just we're taking a little bit. And for me, I'm still. It looks to me like it would be a shot in the dark. We don't know what we're undoing at this point. So, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I also want to. We keep talking about the repeal. What the repeal has to do with is that those who are in these positions right now stay in the position until they're no longer needed for whatever they have been hired for. This would be going from the effective date forward. This would go in. So I want to make sure people don't think we're going to all of a sudden fire a lot of people. That is not the intent.
Senator Michicki?
So I guess I'd like to say I like the idea because it sounds like we're getting the folks on that list. But the folks on that list are still exempt. The Alaska Permanent Fund Corp, the Alaska Industrial Development, the Alaska Commercial Fisheries, that's not highly compensated. Aerospace Corp, Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, all of the physicians under the state medical, all of those are still exempt. So I'm a little worried that you went for the one piece that may be something that we need instead of trying to do something with the folks on that list that went around. And the reason the list bothers me a little bit is, okay, it may have a physician on there that makes $300,000 a year, but guess what they make in private practice? I mean, it's So that's why I want to understand who they are and how it's hamstringing us, because I think that's potentially problematic.
Through the chair, Senator Chickey, this bill doesn't affect those people that you just listed.
I think that's what I just said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that we were thinking that we were missing a piece by just this one little section.
Yep, to clarify, Senator Michigan.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, anyone listening would think that this bill is fixing the list. It doesn't fix the list. These people wouldn't be on that list because they're a temporary position. So I guess I would like to understand who they are and what the target is. I'd like to see more constraints around the list. On when you can get to a certain level of compensation and what would be the criteria, but that's not what we're talking about today.
And Senator Michicki, through the chair, that's exactly it. I mean, as we did more first it was frustration of we literally found the one person, but it took a lot of digging, and it wasn't where you thought it would be. So there was, no transparency in it. So why was this person hired in the governor's office when the person actually was doing something for the Department of Education? And so they didn't even appear to be in the right department to start with. We later learned that it didn't even have to come out of personal services, where you would see wages. If, let's say, the governor's office had extra money because maybe they didn't hire as many people, it could have gone in that direction. I mean, this bill for me is transparency, so that it's not about that we wouldn't hire certain individuals, especially those with expertise, which is why I do believe that this was put in the first place. But it's gone away from that to where it's our understanding there's people been in there for years who we could actually get sued for because you don't get benefits in this area because it's a temporary position. And we've seen that happen to other states. We just want to make sure that if you're hired to do a specific duty, that you're going to go through the same thing that if Senator Reinbold was going for a job that wasn't a temporary exempt, and she would have to make sure that her salary matched what her duties were, because she was not underneath this kind of special area. And so it's not that they can't hire them, they just now have to be more transparent in who they are, and they'll know also that it's not necessarily a temporary job, and they should receive benefits just like someone else does. And anytime you go, and I don't care what administration you're talking about, if you keep asking over and over the same question, for some reason they won't give it to you, we should be very concerned, because we are responsible to know not just who's hired, but whether or not our wages are equal to all of our employees, not to just quote unquote a special group that for some other reason got hired into that position. So that is really why we picked this one over some of the others. At least you know who those other positions are that you read through. Might not agree about how much they get paid, which is a discussion in another bill at a different time. But for here, it really for me was transparency throughout whoever the administration is.
Well, I think I'm willing to wait until Thursday to see if we can get one of the reports that Nancy Such can bring back. And Nancy, that should go to the staff of the State Affairs Committee, and then I will make sure that it gets distributed throughout. And the point is that we'll bring it up on Thursday and then look it over again. Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah, and one more request on the temporary nature. If you could sort of get some sort of an idea of how long those people have been in these temporary exempt positions. I mean, temporary is a temporary thing. I don't know if people are in those for 5 years at a time, which sounds sort of bizarre to me that they would be in exempt status and also temporary status.
So before I get to Nancy,
rather than
on
employees,
that,
so.
Let's get Ramon to talk, because he had something on that.
Just through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, yes, you're in the right track there. And I would suggest that what she does is get the date that the position was established, not just the new person in it, because it could have been established many years ago. So I think you want that as well.
Nancy, is that something within the realm of possibility? I should say Ms. Stutz. Sorry about that.
Through the chair, I don't have a good idea of how many temp exempts there are, so I know that we could have an old report. It will tell the pay rate of those people. Getting the position establishment date should be easy, but it'll be easier to get the how long the person has been in the job rather than how long the job has been in existence. And the reason why I say that is we'll have to access possibly two different systems, with IRIS being our new payroll system. I just don't want to overpromise, but we'll do the best we can to get the information prior to Thursday.
That would be helpful. I think it looks like one way or another the report is coming. So if we can at least establish what the parameters of what we're looking for are, that would be helpful. Nancy, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Other questions for the sponsor? All right, Senator Machicki.
Did you think about putting a deadline on number 9 and leaving it in place, say 180 days or less? Or perhaps that's the one under exempt services, or perhaps under K, did you think about maybe the same sort of thing, breaking it out to make it? Because what you did is you sealed, there's no way now to go above that amount by the removal of K, so they are stuck with that top payment. And you just know that, think about the gas during the gas line project or other issues that come up. I mean, just wondering if you thought about maybe putting a deadline on, say, 180 days or under or something like that, where they still had the tool, but temporary meant temporary, as opposed to them being able to abuse the system and call someone a temporary person that's not leaving for 4 years.
Senator Machicki, through the chair, no, we did not. But what we will do, though, and get to the committee, is the other avenues that someone could go versus utilizing this particular statute, and which ones have a limit and which ones don't, because I think that's where some of the confusion is happening. Because, you know, when you go through personnel, there's so many different ways you can hire someone through, and I think it would help the committee tremendously to realize that this one is very hard to monitor, to know what's going on. As you already heard, why we couldn't hit a button and find out who these individuals are, it should be very concerning to everybody on the committee. But there are avenues, Senator Machicki, and I understand where your concern is, and I think if we outline that for you so that you can follow along that, and we'll also get the answer to the contracts and exactly if you had somebody specialty, whether or not you would have to go under procurement, or if you immediately needed somebody, whether or not you would be able to do that. I think that would definitely help. And if you know, you feel more comfortable and we need to, you know, keep that down, it is your bill right now.
All right, sounds like a little bit of homework coming our way, Senator Kawasaki. All right. So I'm going to set the bill aside. We'll take it up Thursday again. While I'm the chairman, we get to do that. And Nancy, we'll look forward to any information you can bring to us from the Department of Administration. Senator Machicki has a question.
Just a statement, actually, Mr. Chairman. I like the bill. I'm trying to think about, I feel like my job is trying to think about, are we hamstringing the governor we like from doing the right thing with the right expert? So I just want you to know that. I like the idea. Absolutely support full transparency. So I look forward to the other ways that someone could hire that expert if that exists. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll set the bill aside and look forward to that. Thank you, Nancy, for being on the phone with us. Today we had Senate Bill 73, which is the bill that I had drafted on successor of Lieutenant Governor, and I'm going to also not bring that back up. In fact, we're probably going to park that for the year, mainly because I had a couple of constitutional questions, and the time of the year that we're in, I need to keep that. That was a project of my one of those interns. Excellent project, by the way. It's just that we ran into some questions that I just haven't been able to put the time into. And we're going to bring up one on commercial licensing, the Senate Bill 75, commercial vehicle licensing, and that will be up on Thursday as well. So we'll complete that. We'll bring up the initial rollout of the commercial vehicle licensing, SB 75, and see if we can get some information on this and roll that thing out on Thursday. All right. With that, we're adjourned.